Oh, I heard an old, old story, how my Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Oh, I heard about his glory, of his precious blood atoned.
I heard about Bless you this evening. Good to be in church again and gathered together with part of the family of God. Amen. As Brother Yarbrough said, our church family, and that's how I feel about it. Amen. What a wonderful church family that we have. Amen. We're blessed. We sing it already, but it's true. We're blessed. Amen. Well, I don't have it up here on the board, but if you have your Bibles, turn with me to St. Mark's Gospel. St. Mark's Gospel, the 13th chapter and the 11th verse. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you again tonight, Lord, we're a needy people. And Lord, knowing that, Lord, we don't just come to see one another, although it certainly is good to look around and see the familiar faces, Lord, of the brothers and sisters that come here and worship together in spirit and truth, Lord. And to see, Lord, one another assemble out. And, Lord, maybe each one's gone through different trials today. Maybe they face different battles. Maybe they face different challenges in getting here. But, Lord, we're here tonight, and we're here to worship you.
Yes.
Now, I just ask that you would be in this service. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do or how you're going to do it, but I just ask you to be with us and just to lead us and guide us, Father. Lord, may I just yield myself to you in such a way tonight to where you could encourage hearts. And Lord, may it just be something that, Lord, just helps us a little further through the week. And Lord, as we come here to get strength and to worship you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, as we see this holiday approaching tomorrow of Thanksgiving. Lord, we could just stand here and thank you all night and never be thankful enough. Lord, we could thank you, Lord, the rest of our lives just to stand and just give you praise and glory and honor for all that you've done for us so far. Lord, not even thinking or accounting what you're going to do for us, Father. And we could spend every waking moment, every breath in our body giving you thanks, and it'd never be enough. But we are thankful tonight, Father. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your people. We thank you for the leading of the Holy Spirit, Father. And we just ask you to be with us tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Well, I had studied today, and I had a title, and I actually told it to my wife, and maybe Brother Layton, I don't remember, and I had quotes, and I had slides, and we're not going to go that direction tonight, and that's why I read this scripture, and I don't have notes tonight. But I'm depending on the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I know that he's more than able. So we may have a 5-minute service or we may have a 3-hour service. I don't know, but I'm expecting something good from him.
Amen.
Amen. How many do we have here tonight that's between the ages of 12 and 18? Can I get you to raise your hands? 12 and 18. 12 and 18. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you all to come and sit on this front row if you don't mind tonight, if your parents don't care. Brother Wesley, at least you're not by yourself tonight. Last time I had you come up here, you were 12-year-old Jesus, so. Amen. I finally got this front row filled, so. Took me 4.5 years to do it, but. Amen. God bless you all tonight. I'm not going to pick on you too bad tonight, but I just want you to have a front row seat for whatever the Lord has for us tonight. Amen. I appreciate our young people. Amen. I was a young person once too, but I can't lay claim to that anymore. And I came and sat in the message church just like these young people are tonight. And I had message family just like these young people have tonight that was willing to teach me about the Lord and bring me to church. And I was in some wonderful services growing up, and I count a lot of what happens here was due to that, due to them having me in an atmosphere where I could kind of see what the Holy Spirit could do, and to see different types of ministries and different types of services. And I believe that I was able to glean from that, and that's, I think, some of the reasons why we have the type of services, the type of worship, and the type of things that we have is because of that. So I appreciate you keeping your young people in church. And I don't know, I just felt led to do this tonight, to have them come up here, and not to pick on them or isolate them, and I'm not going to try to preach right at you, but I know it's hard being a young person in this message. And if you're in the message and you've got friends, or you go to school that isn't centered around the message, then you've probably got people that make fun of you because you're in the message, or for Sister Hope because of her long hair or dresses or different things that she might encounter, some of these boys for different things that they do or don't do a little differently than everybody else at school or wherever they go. And if you do have message friends and they don't go to this church, you might be given a hard way to go because of where you go to church, or because of the way you worship, or the way you believe. And so I grew up with that too. I know what that's like. Satan, I believe, allows that to happen and does that on purpose to try to attack our young people. And he wants to do anything he can at an early age just to start them off wrong and try to put a bad taste in their mouth, whether it's for the message or to be bitter about something. Well, my parents did this, or this one did that, or somebody did this. But you don't listen to the devil when he tells you those things, because that's just the devil. And I know, as a young person growing up, my best advice I could give you is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 33, says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added." Many times our problem is we seek everything else instead of putting him first. And being that it's Thanksgiving, you know, tomorrow, and we're supposed to be thankful, I could stand here and just give testimony and testimony and testimony of things I'm thankful for. And I don't even know where to start tonight, but I did want to thank the Lord for these young people and for their stand for the word. And for you young people, we've got other younger children here, but if there's a tomorrow, this generation right here is the next generation of tomorrow. They're the ones that'll be filling the positions in the churches. So they're the ones that'll be taking up jobs and finding out who they're going to marry, and their children, how to raise them, making decisions like that, and all these different things that they have to face. If there's a tomorrow, they're the children of tomorrow. And as parents, we need to keep that in mind, that we aren't just, you know, these kids. We are all looking for a rapture, and I believe, you know, I hope as time progresses and everything that's happening, I don't believe it can be a whole lot longer, but we don't know. Brother Bram said, you plant your potatoes, and if you aren't here to eat them, somebody will be here to eat them. The foolish virgin or somebody will need those potatoes. And so we should raise our children not in the thinking of, well, they don't need an education because there may not be a tomorrow, or they don't need to know about the Lord and don't need to know about the message. There may not be a tomorrow for them to have a need for it. No, they need to know these things. And I know that they have a lot that they'll have to face, and that Satan will do everything he can to attack them. And let me just say to you as young people, if there's ever anything that you run across in the message or the Bible, or that your parents are teaching, or that I say here at the church, that you don't understand, don't just be ashamed to ask, well, I don't understand this, or why do I believe this, and just take it for granted that, well, that's just what Brother Nathan said, or that's what Mommy said, or that's what this one said. Because I just been speaking to a young man here recently. He'd been raised in the message and grew up in the message, and he believed a lot of the things surrounding the message, but he didn't know why he believed them. He just, well, I've grown up in the message, and Mommy and Daddy's taught it to me, but why do we really believe this? And this young man was a lot older than you all here. He was an adult and married and had a job and everything, but he had never really went back to see, why do we really believe what we do? And so I began to take some of the scriptures, and I said, well, what is it that you have a question on? Water baptism, the Godhead, what would it be? Serpent seed, whatever. And we began to take through some of the topics that he knew we believed in the message, and I started taking him back to the Bible. Well, Brother Branham taught us this, but this is what he pointed us back to, that it was because of this scripture and because of what Paul said over here and what the Lord Jesus said over here and what Moses taught over here. And he began to understand, and it takes more than that, because that's just me giving the brother an intellectual conception of understanding this is why the doctrines and things that we believe in the message. It takes more than that, and it takes more than just, well, mommy and daddy brought me to church, or this one did this, or that one did that, or my grandparents did this, or that somebody told me about it, or somebody was in the message. That's all wonderful, and it's wonderful that they have you here in this atmosphere where God can do something for you. But it takes more than just head knowledge, because I know many pastors today that are no longer in the message because they had plenty of head knowledge, but they didn't really have a revelation. They didn't have a birth, of a word birth, to know what this really was. And as a young man in the message growing up, I was telling some people Sunday, I finally got my song leader back at least. Brother Furman back there, I'll pick on him a little bit. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I guess about 4 years old, my cousin Richie, I was already, my parents can tell you, and my sister Debbie, and my brother Anthony, if he was here, they're out of town or traveling for Thanksgiving. But as about a four-year-old boy, my parents gave me a little red tape recorder. I think it was a play school tape recorder or something like that, and it had little cassette tapes you could put in and record. And as soon as I got the tape recorder, all I knew about a tape recorder was that we listened to tapes that were sermons. And so I began to record my own sermons at 4 years old, and I think we've still got some of them. Brother Furman's threatened to bring them and play them to the church. But and about that time, the Stutzman family moved here, or no, they hadn't moved here yet. They were traveling back and forth from Milroy, Indiana. And they would travel down on a Sunday and go to service, and instead of traveling back and missing the Sunday evening service, for about a year or two there before they moved, they'd stay the evening with us, and if mom was cooking a pot of soup, she'd just add a little bit more water and a little bit more of this and a little bit more of that, and we'd all have lunch and fellowship together. So we grew up together, and I was the pastor and he was the song leader. So it took me 30 years to get him back, but I finally got him back. And I'd lay him right out there on the floor and act like I was baptizing him, and we probably baptized him about 40 times. So, but looking back to that, you know, there was something about it. There was already a call there. There was already something. And my wife's grandmother, Sister Dot, as you know, or Granny Dot, as we call her, she can remember working there as a secretary at Voice of God. And when I started going to school, Dad was very protective of me being the baby of the family, and everybody wasn't homeschooling, or a majority wasn't homeschooling back then like they were today, and so they were talking about, should we put him in public school, should we put him in private school, should we homeschool him, and Mom had taken me to a private school, and it was a Christian school, and I didn't really like it, but Dad really wanted me to be a homeschooler, so I didn't let on too much that I didn't like it. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you'll homeschool, I'll give you a $10 a week allowance. And for a five-year-old boy in 1987, that was a lot of money. And I said, oh, well, you know, I guess, you know, throw me in that briar patch, you know, briar rabbit. And so I was homeschooled. And I'd take that $10 allowance, and sometimes, you know, as a boy, I'd buy all kinds of stuff. I had little books that I liked to read, and baseball cards, and mainly basketball cards. I don't know if we got any Michael Jordan fans in here, but growing up, I was a little bit of that. And I'd go down to Ben Franklin and buy me some basketball cards, and I'd go to the bookstore and buy me some books. But a lot of times what I'd do is I'd save back about $4 of that, and I'd go down and buy me a tape at Voice of God. When Mom and Dad would go down there, I'd go in. And Sister Dodd still remembers me, a five-year-old boy, going into Voice of God and taking his allowance and buying a tape. And I've still got some of those tapes. And it was so impressed on her, she still remembers it today. Well, that was because there was something about it, even at that age, that I recognized there was something real. And I'll just say it this way. They may not have been who they are now, but they were around then. And all the Jeff Jenkinses and all the John Collinses couldn't have convinced this little five-year-old boy that there was a false prophet on those tapes. They couldn't have convinced me, even at 5 years old. So many times we look at these children, whether they're 5, whether they're 10, whether they're Brother Nathaniel's age and doesn't feel like he's a children anymore, not a child, but he's starting to drive and getting his license and starting to feel a little bit of the responsibility, you know, getting side jobs and things like that, and starting to feel some of that part of manhood to where he's coming out of being a child, but yet it, just lumping them all in together, these teenagers and 12 to 18 here. Many times we look at them, we think, well, they're just young people. But if they've been raised right, and if they've had the right kind of experiences, and they've seen God move, they know a lot more about it than a lot of these people around here that have claimed to have been in the message for 40, 50, 60 years. If they've seen a God in reality, which we believe they've had the opportunity to do here, to see God move and to see the sick healed. And we've had prayer even just recently for different things. And as I've said before, a lot of times I don't really just speak that that somebody's healed because I'm not a prophet. But there have been a few that I have felt so certain that they were healed that I've said, and everyone has been healed. And, you know, little Cohen, he came to me Wednesday a week ago, I guess. And Sister Patty brought him back after church back there near my office. And he said his heel had been hurting him. And he said it was hurting him so bad it'd wake him up at night sometime. And I just said a little simple prayer and prayed for him back there. And I asked him Sunday night after church, I said, Cohen, how's your heel been? And he said, Brother Nathan, since you prayed for it, it hasn't hurt once. Amen. That type of thing doesn't leave you, even as a boy Cohen's age. He may be young, but he'll remember that. Amen. I remember things like that from when I was a little boy. I remember as a young man going down to the Georgia meetings and there was a little boy came up on the platform. We're just talking about things we're thankful for tonight. I was down there, and Brother Billy Paul was having meetings, and Brother Ferguson there, and in the Georgia meetings. I don't remember what year it was. I was driving, I guess, so, but I wasn't very old, you know, 16, 18, something like that. And Brother Billy Paul and them were on the platform, and they brought this little boy up, and he had braces on his legs, and he had those crutches that you stick your arms through and hold onto the handles like this. And he came up on the platform. Brother Furman may have been there. I don't remember. But they brought him up on the platform, and his parents told him it was about 7 or 8 years old, and he'd had 7 surgeries. When he was born, his bones were deformed and things like that, and they'd had 7 surgeries on his legs trying to fix him, and that was still the best that they could do to get him to walk a little bit was with those braces and crutches. And they began to pray for him on the platform, and as they prayed for him, he walked to the end of the platform, and he laid down those crutches, and he popped off those braces, and he didn't just walk off the platform. He ran off the platform and ran around and around the building and got back up on the platform and got to the end and began jumping up and down. Amen. I saw God. Amen. I didn't see an angel. I didn't see Jesus Christ in the flesh, but I saw God moving in a service, and things like that stay with you. Amen. I was in the tabernacle one time, and I was sitting on the back left-hand side, probably about where Brother Yarbrough would be if it was laid out like this, and Sister Evans was sitting about where Sister Stephanie would be in the back middle section, and one of her granddaughters stood up and began to scream, "Somebody help us!" And we recognized very quickly she had died in the service. And during the service, a couple nurses walked up to her. I believe Sister Mary Beth. Were you there, Sister Mary Beth? No, it wasn't you. It was Sister West, I know. Brother Yarbrough was there. He walked up and checked her. Different ones walked up. No pulse. Definitely gone. Definitely dead. And she laid there with her head back. And Brother Collins and Brother Rogers came off the platform and prayed for her. And it was right during a prayer line. I'm about a 13-year-old boy sitting right across the aisle from this dead woman. And I began to pray, and you could just feel the whole church begin to pray together. And during that service, Brother Branham at the end of the prayer line there, he's praying, and faith is building. As you know, many times in the tapes it'll happen. And at the end of the tape, he said, if you can accept your healing, he said, just stand up on your feet and accept it. And Sister Evans stood up. I'm a witness. Amen. Brother Yarbrough, Sister Stephanie, different ones are a witness. Amen, that it happened, and we were there, and then a few years later in West Palm Beach, I believe 2001, Brother Layton, 2001, it was pretty warm in the service, and Brother Stephen was there, amen. And Brother Layton was sitting kind of in the back, and they were playing a tape again in that service, and we began to hear a commotion, and Brother Billy Paul and Brother Ferguson came down off the platform, and Brother Layton had died in the service, and they went down and prayed for him. And he comes back around. We begin to rejoice a little bit, and the tape's going on. They go back up on the platform, and then there's another commotion, and he died a second time. Is that right, Brother Layton? And so they come back and pray for him again. He comes back again. And he was a little weak afterwards, I think, but he came up to the front and gave testimony, and I saw a dead man healed a second time. Amen. God's God. And when you see things like that, and you're sitting under a message of a vindicated prophet, and you hear these stories on the tape, but it begins to where it's not just a story on a tape anymore, and it's not just something that some of the brothers that were here, like Brother Layton and Brother Yarborough, that saw these things in the actual services there, or it's not just a story that your grandfather tells you, or this one tells you, or that one tells you, but when you see those things with your eyes, and you see the dead raised, and you see the lame walk, and you see his sister virgin, and recently the doctors told her she had a leukemia, and they wanted to run some tests on her, and she came up for prayer, and they ran more tests, and they said, never mind, you don't have leukemia. When you begin to see things like that, and you recognize that God is with us, and not just with us, when we see the dead being raised over at the tabernacle, and we see different things at different churches, not even in just this area, but around the world, that God backs up his word. It instills something in you that when somebody comes along and says, well, he said somebody's name wrong on this tape over here, it just doesn't affect you like it does some people, because you've seen something real. And so if we can get the people in an atmosphere, and especially these young people, to see that God is real and he's alive today and he's still on the throne and he still answers prayer, not just, you know, once every 50 years or every 10 years, but constantly he's doing it. We've seen the over and over and over the prayer requests come through, and God answered prayer time after time after time. We know that he still answers prayer. We've seen times when the doctor would say, well, there is no hope, but he would come on the scene where there was no hope. And as we talked Sunday morning, do the impossible. Oh, make it possible where it seemed like it was impossible. I believe he's still doing that for some that are here tonight and some that couldn't make it tonight. I believe he's still working in the background. Maybe we don't see it all the time, but God knows what he's doing. Amen. I'm thankful for those things tonight. I'm thankful for eyes to see and ears to hear when so many others have been blinded to it and could have had the same opportunities that we had. And maybe even they saw the same things that we did. But Jesus said, even if one raised from the dead, they wouldn't believe it. Amen. We've got nurses that have reported all these different things, but yet they still don't believe it. And they won't believe it. And they didn't believe it in Jesus' day. There stood the high priest and Caiaphas, all of them standing there. And he did all these mighty miracles. It wasn't done in a corner. It wasn't done in a basement somewhere. It was done for all the world there in Galilee and Nazareth and Jerusalem, all the parts about there to see. And they still called him Beelzebub. He said, oh, if they call me Beelzebub, the master of the house, what more will they say about you? But I'm thankful to be associated with this message. I'm thankful to be associated with not even just the people in this church, but with these other local churches and with brothers around the world that are standing for this message. Brothers that would absolutely lay down their neck on a chopping block and give their life for this message. I'm thankful to be associated with brothers like that. Amen. I'm thankful to be associated with the group of people that follow this message, not because they've been brainwashed, as people think, or not because they've just been raised in it, or just because they've been taught in it, but because we've seen something real. We've seen God in action. And when you see that, it instills something down on the inside of you. Amen. I'm thankful that my children are able to be raised in a time and in a place and following a message that, you know, it's a dark age and it's an evil age. And in a way, I hate to see them come up in this age and all the things that go on and all the terrible things that are taking place. But in another way, it's the most perfect and wonderful and blessed time that there's ever been, because we have the most perfect and wonderful and blessed message that's ever been. Amen. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm thankful to be associated with it. If I had been in the days of Moses, every Dathan and Korah couldn't have convinced me to walk away from Moses. They had a lot of this, a lot of talk, but not much action. Amen. But here was a prophet that when he spoke, the Red Sea parted. Here was a prophet that when he spoke, water came from a rock. And they had maybe, as we'd say today, they had websites and they had ideas and they had arguments and all that. But they didn't have any of these things that Moses had. And in Paul's day, the same thing. Here comes a vindicated prophet with a message that people were absolutely against. He was against women preachers. He said an angel had spoke to him. He said he saw a pillar of fire. He said there was one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, all these different things. Kind of sounds like another brother that I knew in this day. And they rejected him and they were against him, but he was still a vindicated prophet. And of course, after he was gone, you know, then they as Brother Bram said, different ones, once they were off the scene, oh, they garnished the tombs, and they say, oh, what a wonderful man, and well, what a mighty man of God. But when he was there, they absolutely rejected him. And it's the same thing today with the message or with individuals, you as individuals, maybe God dealing in your life, and you'll be rejected by the world, you'll be made fun of by the world, but that's not anything new. That's been happening since the beginning of time. Can you imagine how much they made fun of Abraham and Sarah? Little grandma and grandpa going down the road saying, we're going to have a baby. I'm sure they were made fun of, but it didn't stop them. Amen. They knew the working of the Spirit, and they felt the move of God in their life, and as long as they knew that God was leading them, they just kept walking. And oh, they might have got ridiculed, and they might have got laughed at, and they might have got called all kinds of names, but it didn't matter to them. They knew who they were serving. They knew who they were following. They knew what He was able to produce, and it produced something in them. And as I've told you before, you know, feeling a call in my life as a young man, I ran from the Lord for a while, and I'm not proud of that, but it's just the truth. I'll just be honest with you. And through that time, I learned a lot. And, you know, there's some people say, well, I got to go out and experience it for myself. No, you don't have to. You don't have to. It'll give you nothing but heartache. It'll give you nothing but regret. And it'll give you nothing but just Satan being able to whoop up on you and beat over you and say, look what you did back there. Amen. There's nothing good out there. Amen. There is nothing good out there. The world has nothing good to offer. Satan paints a beautiful picture. Oh my, why don't you just try this? And everybody else is doing it. Why don't you take a drink of this? And why don't you take a smoke of this? And why don't you put a little bit of this in your veins? And we find them years later and they're addicted, or they're, you know, their liver's failing, or their health is failing, or they've got contracted some disease, or all these different things. Oh, he paints a beautiful picture. But look at that person a few years down the road. We was at a festival there in my dad's hometown a few years ago, and my Uncle Jeff was in town, and we were visiting with some people down in the city there, and we stopped and talked to a man there that looked to me like he was probably about 85 years old. And my Uncle Jeff is, how old is Uncle Jeff? Is he 60 somewhere, right? 64? And he said, how old do you think that man was after we got done talking? I said, he looked like he was about 85 to me. He said, I went to high school with him. But they went two different paths. Amen. As I heard somebody say recently, the Christian life is the best life you can live. Brother Bram said, even if God sent me to hell, he said, I'd still serve him. He said, because I love him. And let me tell you tonight, there's no better life out there. Amen. It's the healthiest life. It's the happiest life. It's the most blessed life. We're privileged. What a privileged people we are. You look around, you look back at some of your friends that you had growing up in high school, or some of your work buddies when you were a young man, some of your friends that you were around, and you look at where they're at now, and you look at where you're at now. And you wonder, was it me? It wasn't anything in me that deserved it. I was just as big an idiot as they were. But what is it? There was something that kept holding me. There was something that had settled down on the inside of me that even when I was wrong, I knew this word wasn't wrong. Even when I was wrong, I knew there was something about it that it wasn't wrong, Brother Jimmy. And there was something that always brought me back to it. No matter how far I would run, no matter how far I would try to get away, there was something down on the inside that would only let me go so far. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Amen. I'm thankful for the sovereignty of God that kept holding me many times when I wouldn't have held on. That kept me from making decisions many times when I would have made the wrong decisions. But there was something that held. I'm thankful for that. If you have that tonight, you should be thankful too. Amen. As we sit here together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus and feel His presence here, and you know, maybe a little different service than we're used to, but we're thankful. Amen. I'm thankful for each person that's came into this little church, and even the ones that just passed through, and maybe they didn't feel to make it their home church, but if they just came through the doors and were blessed for a service or two and we were able to do something for them, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God placed us here at a place and a time when there's people that are hungry and people that are hurting and people that maybe they've been talked about and cast aside and everything else. I'm glad this can be a place where they can kind of come away for a while and feel at peace and worship God and lift our hands and praise the Lord and feel freedom just to come and just worship how we feel led. And that doesn't mean that everybody else has to do it the way that we do it. I know there's many that are against the drums and the guitars and all this. I don't tell anybody they have to have guitars or drums, but I don't want them to tell me that I can't have them because they don't have a quarter of scripture. Amen. There's many that's absolutely against any type of preaching. And you know, I don't tell them that they have to sit and listen to me preach, but they can't tell me that I can't preach when they don't have a quarter of scripture to stand on. Right. And I have about 20 that I brought tonight but decided not to use that I could give them. What Brother Branham said about the ministry. The problem with the ministry is many of them try to elevate themselves up to an equal place or above Brother Branham, and people look and say, well, that's just how ministers are. No, that's not how we all are. That's not how we all are. Amen. There's always scarecrows around, but Brother Branham said, whenever there's a counterfeit dollar bill, there has to be a real dollar bill that counterfeit was made off of somewhere. So they asked him in questions and answers in 1964 there. They said, Brother Branham, is it true that nobody can preach but you? He said, Lord, have mercy. I'd be terrible. He said, "Who? I never said that. Who said that? He said, I didn't say that. He said, if a man's called to preach, he needs to get in a pulpit and preach somewhere. Yes, amen. So I believe what he said. Amen. 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 Paul said that, you know, I can't remember the exact scripture. I can find it for you if you want me to later. He said, it's not anything that I can boast about that I'm a minister, but he said, I'm compelled to preach the gospel. He said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. And when God calls you to do something, I don't care if it's shoveling coal or being a housewife or a carpenter or whatever God has called you to do. If God called you to do that, then woe be unto you if you don't do whatever he calls you to do. If he calls you to be a musician or a singer or whatever, and you say, well, I'm not going to do it because it's not popular. I'm not going to do it because it's not what I want to do. Woe unto you. Amen. When God calls you to do something, you better do it. Amen. Well, there's things that we do that aren't popular. Now, let me just tell you, you better get tough skin fast because we're just going to keep doing things that aren't popular. But if God called you to come to church here, amen, and you want to worship in the way that we do, and you believe the way that we do, and you see God moving, and you see that there's a vision that we have for what we feel called to do here and what our purpose is, then, you know, there's going to be people talk about it. There's going to be people say evil of it. But as I said last Wednesday night, and my wife has reminded me over and over, you shouldn't have said that. The devil heard that. He didn't like that. But bring on the trials. If it's God's will to get me closer to him and I've got to go through some trials, bring on the trials. I want to be closer to him. We cry, you know, we come in, we sing, oh, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea, but I don't want any trials or misery. Just let me be, oh Lord, just let me be. That's how we sing it many times. We come and we want to get closer to Jesus, but we don't want the trials. We want the testimony, but we don't want that beginning four letters of it, or five, I guess. We don't want the test. We just want the testimony. But there's always a test. I appreciate when Brother Ron was here, some of the testimonies he shared of things that's happened to him. And he's been burnt and fell off of ladders and all kinds of different things, all kinds of problems that he's had physically. And Satan's tried to kill him over and over and over. Those testimonies encouraged me, but I didn't want to go through all the trials he went through to have the testimony. But I'm glad somebody did. Amen. The Hebrew children could walk around and say, hey, we were the three guys that was in the fiery furnace with Jesus. But I'm sure when they were on the other side of the door, they were thinking, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, if you're going to deliver us or not. But once they got out the other door, out the other end, they had a testimony they could share with people. I'm sure Noah didn't probably want to be bouncing around on the top of the world covered with water in a storm and the waters raging back and forth. As we looked at it, you know, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but before the earth completely dried and they set on it, it was a little over a year from the time they went in the ark. I'm sure that wasn't his plan for his life of what he wanted to do, to be stuck with his family and every animal species you could think of in a boat for a year. I'm sure that wasn't his plans for his life, but I'm sure when he got out of there, he thought, thank you, Lord, for preservation and for preserving me from this terrible thing that happened. But it probably wasn't very fun to him at the time. It was a trial, I'm sure. If you don't think it's a trial, you go on a vacation for about a week with your family and see if you want to, you know, be in a boat with them for a year. Amen. I love my family. My dad says he'd like to have a house big enough for all of us to live together. And I thought, I don't think I can handle that trial. I always like that phrase, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think that's why people like grandkids so much, because they like them better than children, because they can have them for a while and then send them home. But I'm thankful for what God does for us. I'm thankful for the trials. It's strange to say that, but I am thankful for the trials, because it does give us more wisdom, and as it does bring us into a closer presence and a closer atmosphere with God. And, you know, if we can keep the right attitude and we can keep our head above the water, even in the storm, and God can just help us to keep pressing on through whatever comes our way, we see God blessing us, and we see God speaking to us. And we saw, I was going to make mention of it earlier in the service, in case some of you was here Sunday morning that wasn't here Sunday evening, but Sunday morning we had a message in tongues go forth, and it was encouraging to me. I was praying, and we needed some encouragement with everything going on with the building and all of that. And the tongues went forth, and there was no interpretation. And so Sunday evening, I'd really been praying that the Lord would just allow that to go forth again for there to be an interpretation. I felt like it was something that was encouraging for the church. And Sunday evening, we did have tongues and interpretation go forth, and it was very encouraging for us, how the Lord saying that he was with us and leading us and guiding us. But you can't expect things like that to happen and then not have a rough week afterwards. You can't expect things like that to happen and Satan not to get on your shoulder a little bit. So, amen. When God goes to work in overtime, the devil goes to work in overtime too, to try to upset and try to do anything he can, bring on any little trial he can or any little discouragement. But you know what? He's got it under control. Amen. And through all this, you know, that day, after I had announced it, I was getting text messages of people. I had a brother offer me, said a sister in their church is a real estate agent. And if there's anything he could do to get some real estate information for us, he'd be happy to do it. And another brother had sent me a message and said that he owns a warehouse. And if we can't find a place by January 25th, or January 15th, that he'd be willing to let us borrow that warehouse temporarily until we could get a place. And had another person contact me today that they're selling their church, and I don't know if it's a church we can afford or not, but he said if it's something we want short term, we could even rent it on a week-to-week basis and use the sanctuary, because nobody's using the sanctuary right now. So just see God's hand moving. And the brothers and I went and drove about 80 miles all around Jeffersonville, Clarksville, Sellersburg, New Albany, Charlestown, all around looking for places, and we found a couple that could be a potential, and we see God moving, and we believe God's got all under control. As I said last Sunday, I don't know where we'll be, but we'll be somewhere listening for his name. And we appreciate the Lord, and I believe he has something better for us. I don't know what it's going to be, but I believe I'm encouraged just even looking at some of the places. It's things that we've wanted, our own building, and a place where, you know, if we want to do some major remodels and put in a baptismal or put in something, that we can do it without having to ask permission and having to worry about what this one's going to think or that one's going to think, and without having to worry about restaurants moving in needing liquor licenses and all that. So we believe God's going to provide something good for us. It'll be better for us. And he's got it all under control. And I'm encouraged just to see how fast, you know, some of it's coming together. And next week we're going to go, Lord willing, and look at a few of the locations on the inside and see what the Lord has. So be in prayer with this. But I'm thankful for a group of people that love the Lord and that serve the Lord and that come together not just to be seen or heard or not just to get up and just be able to check it off their checklist that, well, we went to church this week, so we've done our good deed, but that we come expectant and that we come excited to hear the word and to see what God's going to do and to worship him and yes, to see one another too. That's wonderful. That is part of it. Brother Bram said they used to stand at the tabernacle and cry, you know, when they'd have to see one another go, knowing that they wouldn't see each other again until Wednesday night. Well, I feel like we're such a close-knit family, it's kind of that way sometimes, to where, oh my, well, I guess I won't see you till the next service, but I'll be praying for you. And if we've got a need, there's people that step up and help with the need. And if we've got sickness, there's people that don't just say that they're going to be praying for you, but they pray. Amen. I'm thankful for a family like that. Not just a earthly family, but a heavenly family, a church family that we love the Lord together. And we don't just feel that about the people inside these walls, but our other brothers and sisters that we hear prayer requests about and things like that, we're burdened for them too. That's the way it should be. Amen. That's the way it should be. God bless you tonight. You love the Lord? Amen. How many of the children is thankful that I didn't embarrass you too bad tonight? So you got something to be thankful for too. Amen. Pray for these young people. Amen. Not just these, especially this age group, but all of our young people. But these are the ones that are facing, they're starting to face those trials coming into adulthood and things that Satan, don't think Satan will just let things go on and be, you know, just happy and happy-go-lucky or whatever it would be. But Satan's going to bring trials, but we have a God that's able to bring us through the trials. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come. This is number 204 in your hymn book. Let's just stand and sing it together. I want to hear you all in the front row sing real loud. Oh, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come. Oh, no more clouds. tonight. I started to say earlier about if you ever have a question. If you ever have a question, not just these young people, any of you, but especially these young people this age, that you don't understand something in the message or something in the Bible you run across, you think, I just don't understand what it's trying to say, or it just doesn't make sense, or somebody said this, or somebody said that, and I don't understand. Don't let Satan fight you over that and make you worry about it the rest of your life. Ask your parents about it. What does this mean? If they don't understand, either have them come to me, or the children can come to me, however you want to do it, the parents, the children, whatever. If I can't answer it, we'll look into it, we'll find out, whatever. Don't let Satan get a little edge in there and say, well, I don't understand this, so I guess I just don't believe, or I don't understand why this or why that, or why we believe this or why we do that, and I've just been taught it. But don't let Satan pull that one over on you just to go on and not fully believe it or not fully understand it. There's truth. We have truth. Amen. We have a message of truth and of restoration. There's no reason for us to sit and question, well, I don't know why this or why that, or why we shouldn't do this or why we have to do that or whatever. No, there's a reason. We have a foundation that was based upon. Amen. This message in the Bible is my absolute. Amen. Not men's opinions, not men's ideas, not personalities, not persons, but the message in the Bible is my absolute, and I can lay my life upon it and say, I believe it. Every word, every scripture, every verse, every line. Amen. I know it's real, and I know it's the truth. I've seen God back it up. Amen. Some of these other things out here, all things that, you know, other nominal people come up with, it may be okay. Some of these things other message preachers come up with, things, it may be okay. But I can lay my eternal destination on this message in this Bible. Amen. I don't have to wonder, is it okay? I know it's okay. I know it's right. Amen. So if you ever have a question, don't let Satan beat you over the head about it, but come talk to your parents, or talk to me, or talk to somebody. Amen. If they don't have the answer, go to somebody else. Brother Bram said that little boy in Sunday school, he asked his mom. She said, I don't know. He went and asked his Sunday school teacher. He said, I don't know. Went and asked his pastor. Even the pastor didn't know. But one day he found a man on the backside of the river there rowing a boat, and they were fellowshipping together. He said, why can't I see God if he's so big? He said, son, all I've seen for the last 50 years is God. Brother Bram said he had so much of God on the inside of him that he could see God everywhere he looked. He saw God in nature. He saw God in his word. He saw God everywhere. Amen. There's an answer out there. Sometimes we just aren't asking, or we aren't asking the right person, or whatever it would be. Amen. But we have truth. I thank God for the truth. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we gather together tonight, Lord, in an atmosphere of worship, and in an atmosphere, Lord, where we're so thankful for all that you're doing for us. I thank you for each family that's represented here. I thank you for each young person, Lord, all the way down to the youngest baby, Lord. I thank you for the adults as well, all the way to the oldest person in the building, Father. I'm thankful, Lord, for people that are, Lord, sincere enough to come out, Lord, and Lord, even today, just struggling, trying to find, Lord, just in prayer, what would you have us to do tonight? What would you have me to say? Lord, knowing that your people need encouragement. And Lord, I need encouragement sometimes too, Father. And just looking, trying to find, Lord, what would encourage our hearts, Lord. And, oh, we're so thankful, Father. We're thankful for, Lord, these young people here on the front, Lord. Satan may try to buffet them, and he may try to hinder them. He may try to have people make fun of them and talk about them, Lord, but I'm thankful for these young ones that are coming up, Father, that are turning into adulthood, Father, and that they'll be the adults, they'll be the leaders of the coming age, Father. I ask you just to, Lord, may you just move in such a way in their lives that they can see you, that they can see you move, that you can instill something down in their hearts to where no one would ever be able to sway them to the left or to the right. Lord, all these young people coming up, Father, and Lord, the adults, if they don't have it, Father, Lord, instill something in us to where no critic or no person, Lord, no matter what their explanation or their theory or their doctrine would be, that they couldn't explain it away to us, Father, because it's more than just a doctrine to us. It's more than just a dead letter, but this is life to us, Lord. Lord, what you've done for us, all, how you've given us your word, and how you've brought us out of sin and darkness, how you, Lord, just set us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, fellowshipping together. Lord, you've done something for us. Lord, there was a time when many, they wouldn't even think about wanting to be in an atmosphere like this. They were running from it. And Maybe they were drunks, or maybe they were drug addicts, or maybe they were struggling with all kinds of spirits. Maybe they were fighting nicotine spirits, or lust spirits, or temper spirits, or whatever it would be. And all, they would never think of darkening a church door. But here we sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. Thank you for giving us health. Thank you for giving us, Lord, Lord, children that are in church and serving you. Thank you, Lord, for all our blessings. Thank you for a roof over our head and food on the table. Oh, thank you, Lord, that, Lord, there may be some that are struggling, but Lord, we've never seen your righteous forsaken or your seed begging bread. You always provide for us. We're so thankful, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Oh, we'd love to feel your presence. We love to sit in this atmosphere of worship, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing for us. Lord, help us just to spend the rest of this evening, Lord, and all day tomorrow. Lord, may it not just be a Thanksgiving day as a holiday, but may we be truly thankful. May it not just be once a year, but may we spend our lives, Lord, just thanking you for everything you do for us, Lord. We can never thank you enough. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he leads me through that promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. Let's sing this together, number 229. In your hymn book, there are some things I may not know. There are some places I can't go. Oh, but I am sure of this one thing, that God how they sing it in the Methodist church, but that's not how we sing it here. Amen. I'm gonna have to have it a little faster, and you gotta sing it a little bit louder if you're gonna sing it here. Amen. Let's try it this way. Oh, my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. Oh, his love for me. Made out. So Thankful for that, that you can feel him in your soul, that he's real, that he's tangible here in our midst. Amen. Let's try this tonight. Number 94 in your hymn book.
Oh, you have heard of little Moses in the bullrush. You have heard of fearless David and his flame. You have heard that meeting.